You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, show number 292. And on today's show, I am interviewing the productive woman, Laura McClellan. Laura runs a podcast as well as a website called theproductivewoman.com. And I'm so excited to bring you her story and give you some ideas as to how to build a successful side hustle business that you can ultimately turn into your full-time business, even while you're juggling a lot of different things from a full-time career, children, grandchildren in her case, and many different things. So stay tuned for today's show. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Almer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Well, hey, it's Jackie Almer, and welcome to today's show where I am so excited to give you some ideas on how to be more productive, how to set up your calendar for success, how to set up your life for success, how to set up your mindset for success, as I interview Laura McClellan. But before we get into that, let's talk about some things that you can do first and foremost to make sure you're on the most solid path possible to move your direct sales business forward. Now, you have launched a direct sales business, or perhaps you haven't really launched. Maybe you've just joined a direct sales business. That's what happens a lot of time. It's easy to push the button and click join or submit, but that's just all you've done. You've joined a business. You've started a business. You haven't really started it, though, until you've launched. And so a lot of people join a business, and then they sit around pushing paper around and pushing ideas around in their mind, but they don't really launch their business. I know with my team, my goal is always to get people launched. Who are you talking to? Have you made your list? Do you know what you're going to be saying? Do you understand what needs to be done? I work with my team very closely on getting those things set and in place. And by the way, if you're in a spot where you're looking for a business, go to workwithjackie.com and let's explore the possibilities. But if you're with a business you love, if you've joined a business you love, but you haven't truly launched it and you're not out there taking action, join me in Direct Sales Bootcamp. Go to directsalesbootcamp.com. Give me 15 minutes a day for 30 days. We're going to work on your mindset. We're going to work on your success language. We're going to work on your calendar, the clutter in your mind, the clutter in your head. We're going to work on making sure that you know the steps that you need to be taking on a daily and weekly basis. I'm going to give you my scripts for social media success, how to interact with people out on social media. You're going to be set to really launch your business and be successful. So join me over at directsalesbootcamp.com. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Laura. I love her bio because you know what? She's been married over 37 years to the same man. She was a child bride, as she likes to say. She's the mother of five, a grandmother of seven. She's a real estate attorney in Dallas in a large international law firm. And after hours, she does her side gig. She hosts The Productive Woman, which is a weekly podcast about productivity for busy women. And she facilitates a mastermind group. So if you're thinking to yourself, gosh, you know, it's easy for everybody else because maybe they're home and they're starting their side hustle, they're starting their direct sales business, whatever. I'm here to tell you, Laura's going to get rid of any excuse that you may have because she's already busy. People would look at her and think, she's already successful. Why does she want to do something else? How does she find the time? Reality is, we never find the time. We have to make the time in our calendar. So let me bring on Laura McClellan, theproductivewoman.com.
All right. So, Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. As I've mentioned, you know, a large part of my audience are women. I certainly have men, too. And a lot of these women are juggling a lot of different things. They're in direct sales. They're trying to start their own, you know, side hustle gig, different things like that. And and they're certainly trying to figure out how to be productive. And when I stumbled upon your podcast and then your website and your Facebook group, I was just really excited to find someone who really, I feel like, can truly understand what that's all about, what that's like, because your background is amazing of all the different things that you've juggled from, you know, kind of basically starting a new career in your early 30s and raising 5 children, homeschooling them, all of the different things that you've done along with moving all over the country. So I would just love to get started with having you share a little bit of your background and your story with us.
Well, sure. Thank you, Jackie. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I was smiling as you were describing your listeners, because I think that's all of us these days. We're, you know, women in particular, and no offense to men, because although my podcast is called The Productive Woman, I have men, male listeners as well, and I, you know, love them. But we women these days are juggling tons of things, and that's been my experience as well. So, I mean, Yeah, I don't know how much of my background's of interest to anybody. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I married my husband when we were very young. We were 18 when we got married and 20 when we started our family. And my husband's a musician, and so a lot of the moving we did was related to his profession, a musician, traveling with different groups and doing things. But, you know, we had our kids. And in the midst of raising the 5 kids, I went back to college and finished an undergrad degree in political science while we lived in Nebraska. And I picked up states and moved to New York for me to go to Cornell Law School. And from there, once I finished law school, we moved down here to Texas, and I started my practice at a firm here in Dallas. And that's kind of been the story. Our kids are all grown and gone now, but... you know, I'm still here. You're a mom till you die. So once you have kids.
Yes. Well, tell us a little bit about what led you. Obviously, you got married young. You had children young. Were you a stay-home mom prior to going back to school?
Yeah. So it's interesting. We got married. We were working. Both of us just were working for the state of Washington at the time in 2 different jobs. But we moved north in Washington State for a year of college, and we were pregnant. I was pregnant with our daughter at that time, so she was born in Bellingham while we were in college. Then we moved to Michigan to help start a church, and my husband was playing music with a singer there that traveled all over the world. And I went to college. There was a period, so I did my first 2 years of college, basically, and then there was a 10-year break while I was home raising kids. So that's a long, convoluted answer to your question. But, yeah, for 10 years I was a stay-at-home mom, and some other things while I was doing that. I taught childbirth classes and labor assisted with the moms in my classes and, you know, did things like that. But for most of that 10 years I was home raising kids.
And then what was it that led you to law school, or was that always part of your plan?
You know, that's a great question. It is something that I had thought of when I was younger. I grew up, as I said, in the Pacific Northwest. My dad was a log driver who never graduated from high school. My mom went back to school and got her GED the year I graduated from high school. When I was in high school, I had an English teacher who took an interest in me. I had always got good grades, and she had, I should consider, law, because I like to talk, I like to read, I like to write, all those things. But I honestly, at that point in my life, thought, no, well, that would be cool, but that's for rich kids. People like me don't do that. And then, you know, the sidetrack, I fell in love, got married, did all these other things. And it was later, when I was in my early 30s, homeschooling my kids and went back to college to finish my undergrad. And as I was thinking about, you know, what was I going to get my degree in, what did I want to do with my life, and I was talking to my husband Mike about it, and I said, you know, what I've always kind of wanted to do is go to law school. And before I could say anything more, he just said, well, then you should go to law school. And I'm like, I can do that? I'm in my, you know, at that point, my mid-30s, I've got all these kids. There's not a lawyer in my family. But with his encouragement, I applied and was admitted, and off we went to Ithaca for me to attend law school at, one of the best law schools in the country. It was a huge privilege and an amazing experience.
And so what type of law?
I do commercial real estate law. I thought I was going to be a trial lawyer. I really saw myself, defending, at the time I started homeschooling, we were living in Nebraska, and it had not been legal there for very long. It hadn't been too many years before that parents who homeschooled their kids were being put in jail. And so I was real aware of those kinds of sort of constitutional issues, and I thought I wanted to be a trial lawyer that defended people's constitutional liberties, but just through a series of events and the people that I met while I was in law school and when I was being a summer associate between my second and third years, I just kind of fell in love with transactional practice, and it's been a really great experience for me to be a woman practicing commercial real estate law. So. At a very large firm. So.
Very good. And then, so how then did you transition from, or not transition, because you're still obviously a lawyer, but how did then you go on to create, I know you hold mastermind groups and do a lot of different things and a lot around productivity, and which is one of the things that we're going to talk about for sure, but tell us how that transpired.
Well, I've always been a productivity geek. Even clear back into middle school, I enjoyed, reading books about time management, and I'd go to the library and check all those out and study them, and I liked doing checklists and charts and calendars and stuff like that. And so it's always just been an interest of mine. I like organizing my room and doing those things. Little did I know that it would come learning those things young would come in very handy as I got older and married and had kids and went to school and, tried to manage a career, a family. So it's something I've always been interested in. All right, so there's that piece of it. And then a few years ago, one of the bloggers that I followed, a man named Michael Hyatt, that a lot of people who study leadership type things know him.
Yes, I know him well, yeah.
Yeah, so I read his blog, and every week I read it, and he announced that he was launching a podcast, and my thought was, what's a podcast? But I, because I liked his blog, I, subscribed to his podcast on my phone, and I would listen to it when I was out for a run. And I, from his, I learned of a couple others that I started listening to, and the more of them I listened to, the more I thought, I might like to do that. I was looking for something to do that was not related to practicing law, because the practice of law can be all-consuming, takes lots of time, lots of attention, lots of energy, but I wanted something outside that. And so, as I thought about, I could do a podcast. I like to talk. But what would I talk about? And the obvious answer was productivity, because throughout my life, it's just been an interest of mine, and women that I work with, the young moms and stuff, would come and talk to me about, okay, how do you get this stuff done? What, and just one thing led to another, and I took a class by a man named Cliff Ravenscraft. He does a 30-day course on how to launch a podcast. And I took that and kind of went from there.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so good. I follow all those people, too, so it's funny. I find often a lot of us who do podcasting kind of went down that same path, so it's pretty interesting. So let's talk a little bit about productivity then, and one of the first, you hit on some great words, productivity and time management, and then I always come up with the word balance, which I like to call a four-letter word in disguise, because it seems to be such a myth, balance. And it's something everybody's seeking. How do you balance a family and, your work and just all the demands that go into it? So tell us your thoughts on balance and what that all looks like.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you. It's a word that's thrown around out there, particularly for, you know, among people who are, say, working moms or working parents in general, and this whole thing about work-life balance. And I got to tell you, I don't know what that means. I think it can create a lot of heartache and a lot of frustration in people if they think the idea of work-life balance means having just the right amount of everything all the time. And if that's possible, I haven't found it. I think, you know, if you've got a job or a career or a business on the side or both of the above and a family and all of that, it's almost more of a juggling act than a balancing act, and you kind of have to find the mix that works for you and your family, as opposed to trying to feel like you should have it all perfectly balanced all the time, because I just think it can happen. You know, there's always going to be those times. Yeah, there's always going to be those times when you're at work, when you're thinking of, you know, something your family needs, or when you're with your family and you need to be paying attention to your side business or whatever. And I think it's just a day-to-day figuring out how is this going to work today for me and the people I care about.
Well, I know as women, you know, we carry a lot of guilt around all of it, although I always laugh and say, you know, it seems to be inherent in women and moms. So if it weren't this, we'd find something else to feel guilty about, it seems like. So what do you have any advice for how to overcome that, or how to, you know, deal with that particular challenge, the guilt side of it?
Boy, you know, that is such a great question. You're absolutely right. With all respect to the men, I think women experience this so much differently than most men do. And that sense that whatever it is we're doing at any given time, we're doing it wrong, that we're, you know, if we're working, we think we're neglecting our kids. If we're with our kids, we're neglecting our career, and we feel like we're not getting it right. And there's no secret to that other than recognizing that we all feel that way. And, you know, everybody has to find, I feel like a broken record here, but every one of us has to find what works for us and the people we care about, and not be looking at how other households are doing it, and how other women are doing it or other men are doing it, because I think the biggest source of that guilt is we think we're the only one that doesn't have it all figured out. We look at other people we know and we think, well, she's got it all figured out. I guess it's just me. There's something wrong with me that I can't get it done. And the sad fact is we're always comparing our insides to other people's outsides. And we see the highlight reel on Facebook, and we know that our life doesn't look like that. Well, you know what? Their life doesn't look like that either. That's just the pictures and the good stuff that they're seeing. And so I think part of the key to overcoming the guilt is recognizing that everybody struggles. Everybody's trying to find the right mix of work and family and personal time and all those things. And if the fact that you care enough to kind of feel guilty means you're probably doing okay. The people who are really messed up don't care. You know what I'm saying? The of us who care enough to worry about it probably are doing just fine.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way of looking at it. I had never thought about it like that, so I definitely appreciate that. That shines a whole new light on it, I think. So hopefully that's a good takeaway for not just me, but others who are listening. So that's great. So give us some of your productivity tips then. Are you big on to-do lists? Are you a goal setter? Do you do life planning? Tell us a little bit about how Laura puts productivity into her life.
Sure. The first thing is, I think that over the course of my life, and especially even just the last 2-3 years that I've been doing the podcast and can't really think about these kinds of things, is my definition of productivity has changed. When I was growing up and learning things, to me, being productive meant checking lots of things off your to-do list, just getting lots of stuff done. And I don't think that anymore. I think productivity is about making a life that matters, and that's what we talk about on the podcast all the time. And so for me, the definition of a productive person, and I'll say a productive woman, is one who orders life in such a way as to maximize her positive impact on the world around her. And there are lots of tools you can use to do that, but the tools are not the productivity. It's if you are accomplishing the things you care about and making a life that matters to you, then you are productive. So saying that, having that as a backdrop for anything else that I say, to me is really important. It's defining what, but you have to start from knowing what kind of life do you want to live, what kind of person do you want to be, and then starting from that, how do I get from here to there? And there are tons of tools we could talk about that we can use to sort of order our life in a way that lets us do these things that we care about. You asked about to-do lists. I'm a big fan of writing things down. In 21st century life is, for most people, very full. Lots of input coming at you, lots of commitments and interests and things like that. And our minds are better designed for having ideas than they are for storing them. And so if I can only give one tip to a person about being more productive in the sense of getting the stuff done you care about, it's to write everything down. So for me, every appointment goes into my calendar. And I use a digital calendar, and so whether it's on my phone or on my computer, it's all set up. Every appointment goes in there with the address of the place I'm going to, with the phone number of the person I'm meeting, whatever information I need. It goes in there so that when the time comes, it's all right where I need it. So, and everything I need to do, or that even if it's just I want to decide whether I'm going to do A, B, or C, it all gets written down in my task manager. For me, getting things out of my head and onto either paper or a digital, task manager, whatever, that is the number one key.
Very good. And then do you have a way that you prioritize that?
Well, I don't assign like ABC or 1, 2, 3 to things. I just try to get everything into the system, and then I look at what needs to be accomplished on any given day. And so for me, say at the end of each day, I sit down and I look at my calendar for the next day and my project list, and I look at, all right, what's going to get done tomorrow? What has to be done by me? That is, I can't delegate it to anybody else. These things, what are the 2, 3, at most 5 things that must be done tomorrow? And when am I going to do them based on what appointments I have and that sort of thing. And so it's a day-to-day kind of process in terms of prioritizing. Although I have a massive project and task list that I use that's a digital one, for my day-to-day, I've been, for the last few months, been experimenting with using a bullet journal. So it's a notebook that I write things in. And I'll write the 3 to 5 at the most things that have to get done. And if I think of it in that way, I'll write them in the order I want to do them. And so then I get up in the morning and the decisions are made. I just look at my list and start it working on those things, checking them off as I go.
So you have kind of so if you're working on a project, for instance, one of your masterminds that requires different things to be completed for it, you have a master list of what needs to be done, and then you break that up into what's going to be done day to day to day?
Yes. Yeah. So I use something different for my law practice just because of the system that they're on there. But for my personal life and for Productive Woman, whether it's the podcast or the masterminds or anything else, I have a project set up in OmniFocus. So that's the tool that I use for managing projects and tasks. And they are, each project has a list of tasks that have to get done. For something like a mastermind or a podcast episode, those are repeating projects because I've got to do an episode every week, or I have a meeting each week with each mastermind group. And there are steps that I need to take to prepare the what I'm going to do during the meeting and the steps that I need to take afterwards. And those are all on my list. And I know that if I've got a mastermind meeting on Thursday evening, then by Wednesday evening I have to have done my preparation for it before I go to bed, because I'm at my law practice during the day. And so I've kind of got them scheduled out that way.
Very good. And I will have all these links and these different references in the show notes. So I know a lot of people listen while they're driving, walking, doing different things. So that will definitely be in the show notes. So talk to us then about goal setting, goal getting. Where do you stand on the thought process of goals and intentions and all that?
Well, it's interesting that you ask, because I've actually just been in the middle of a kind of a mini series on my podcast about the process of turning dreams into goals and then accomplishing them. And I think that it's important to have goals in the sense of having a destination in mind. Going back to what we started with, if you have given time to think about what kind of life you want to live, what do you want your life to look like, what kind of person do you want to be, that kind of, what are your guiding principles, the values that are very important to you. And once you have that in mind, you spend time thinking about that, maybe journaling about that, imagining what your perfect life would be if there is such a thing. That sort of sets some big picture, a vision for your life. But to get from here to there, there are steps that have to be taken. And to me, those goals. And so if you want to, as you sit and you think, my ideal life is I want to be an author. I want to write books and publish them. And I've never written one in my life. I'm just making up something now. Okay, so that's the vision you have. You set a goal of learning how, and you think, what are the steps I need to take to get from today, where I've never written anything, to sometime in the future when I will have published books and be an author. And you set goals and targets to get you from there. That's what goals are for. So if it's, a business kind of thing, it's the same thing. They give you a roadmap to accomplishing dreams that you have for your life.
Okay. Very good. I like that. So talk in a little bit about maybe fears that hold us back. I know, you mentioned some interesting things in the beginning in terms of, early in your teenage years, not having an interest in being an attorney, but that was something that rich kids did, and it wasn't really something that was going to be viable for you. Were there fears surrounding any of that? Were there fears with, moving into these other areas and kind of having your own thing outside of law and all that? Have you personally struggled with that? And at very least, I'm sure that you've worked with plenty of women who have. Do you have any insights to share with us about that?
Well, sure. I mean, we all have obstacles to overcome to get to, whatever destination we have in mind for our life, and I'm no different. For me, it's always been mindset kinds of things. Fear of looking foolish. That held for many years of my life. I would not try things that looked interesting to me because I didn't want to try and fail while somebody was watching and look like an idiot. And I ripped myself off I missed out on lots of interesting opportunities because I was afraid of looking foolish. I was afraid of failing and having people judge me. I almost didn't launch the podcast. I mean, I'd gone through Cliff's course and done, you know, had all the gear set up and everything, and then stalled for 6 months because I was afraid if I made it public and said, I'm going to do this thing, that people are going to say, well, that's a dumb idea. Or they were going to say, well, who does she think she is? Why should we listen to her? And I think a lot of women struggle with that fear of, you know, if I tell somebody what this dream is, this business I want to start or this project I want to do or this thing I have in mind to do with my life, people are going to say either that's a dumb idea or you're dumb for thinking of it, or, you know, why would you think you can accomplish that? Why would, you know, going back to what you brought up, looking way back in my life, I thought, well, people would say, well, what do you, you know, you're a log truck driver's daughter. What makes you think you can be a lawyer? And I think a lot of us struggle with that. And I certainly have heard similar, kinds of things from the women in the masterminds or women that I've coached or that I've received emails from related to the podcast. So there's the fear of failure, the fear of looking foolish, the fear of success and what it might mean to us, the fear of disappointing the people we care about. All those things can get in the way of us going after what we dream of.
Any tips for overcoming that?
Oh, my goodness, it's a lifelong process, Jackie.
Yes, it is.
I think it has to start with awareness of doing, you know, saying out loud, even if it's only to yourself, I'm afraid if I do this, I'll fail, okay? Right? Figuring out what is it that you're afraid of? What is holding you back, whether it's fear or, you know, whatever? The first step is acknowledging it and then doing the work to think about, all right, what does that mean? If I'm afraid of failing, what happens if I try this and fail? So going back to the sort of simple example I gave, what happens if I try to write a book and I can't do it? Well, nobody's going to punch me in the face. I just won't have written a book. Well, here's the good news. I haven't written one now, so I'm already, you know, I know how to live without having written a book. So the worst thing that can happen to me if I try is what I have already now today. And doing that kind of thinking is, I think, the first step to getting past those things and learning to break down that big, overwhelming dream into little tiny steps that you can take, just move a little bit toward it each day. Because that's another thing that holds us back a lot of the times is we just feel overwhelmed. This thing we want to do seems so huge and overwhelming that we're paralyzed and we don't know where to start. And so there's a whole process you can go through once you have made that decision that I'm going to do this, and breaking it down into very small steps that you can just make a little bit of progress each day toward that. And you can go a long way one step at a time.
Yes, you can. Any productivity or any specific tips that you would have? You know, so many of the listeners, you know, work full time, have like all of us, very challenging, demanding schedules with children and everything that goes into that. And then at the same time, they're trying to start a business, launch a business, you know, find/make the time to do the steps that need to be done to move that business forward. How do you suggest one goes about juggling that?
Well, it's all the things we've talked about. First of all, decide for yourself what's most important to you. What do you value? If starting a business is something that you value, okay, something that's important to you, why is it important to you? Really understand your why. And I am a big advocate of writing, you know, journaling about this, writing out, this is what I want to do. This is the vision I have in my mind. I've got very specific about what that vision is. This is why I want to do it. This is why it's important to me. And it doesn't have to be some big, you know, I'm going to save the world kind of reason. Whatever is motivating you to do this is a good enough reason. So being really clear on the what it is you want to do, the why you want to do it, and then looking at your schedule and saying, all right, what am I doing that's not consistent with what I say I value most? And are there things that I'm doing that I can stop doing for a while, that I can set aside? I'm a big fan of, you know, if you feel like you don't have enough time to do the things that are important to you, spend a week tracking exactly how you spend your time, you know, hour by hour for a week, and then sit down and look at it and say, all right, where is my time going, and is it reflective of what I really care about? And if I find, oh, well, look at that, I spent 2 hours watching Gilmore Girls on Tuesday night, and, you know, whatever other things, I spent an hour and a half surfing the net Thursday morning, is it important to me to do those things? If it is, that's okay. But if I'm looking to make time to pursue something else that's more important, getting it in front of you, that is tracking your time for a week and looking at what you're really doing with your time, you may find that there are some pockets of time that I can take from one thing, you know, whether it's TV or whatever, and spend on this project that's important to me. So that's how you find time. That's how you make the time. You decide what's important to you, and you schedule it on your calendar. And you could say, all right, instead of watching TV on Tuesday nights, I'm going to spend an hour and a half working on my new project. Okay, so now I've written that into my calendar. Then I take that project and I break it down into all the component parts so that I know when I sit down on Tuesday to work, I've got some steps I can take to move that ball down the field. I'm oversimplifying it, but that's the process.
Well, it is pretty simple. I mean, you know, really and truly, I think what you shared is so relevant. It's like, you know, start with why. And yeah. I've learned that when you do start with why, the how will show up.
Yeah. Well, and you really need to know your why. And it can't be because other people think I should. That's not going to keep you going when things get hard. And if you really want to accomplish anything that is important to you, there will be times when you're tired or when you run up against opposition or you've tried something and it didn't work out the way you wanted to, and it gets real easy to quit. And that's when you need to go back to that why you wrote down. Why am I doing this? And whatever it is, it needs to be important to you, not just, you know, important to other people in your life or what you think they think you should do.
Makes total sense. Well, Laura, thank you so much. Gosh, this has been full of great nuggets. How do we find out more about you?
Oh, well, the easiest way to find me is just to go to the website. It's theproductivewoman.com. And that's where you find, you know, the episodes of the podcast and the show notes. And there's lots of resources in there, but there's also ways you can get in touch with me. So there's a contact page that you can, you know, click in there and send me a little message. But there's also links to where you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, places like that. And I love hearing from people. And the other thing that I'll mention is one of the tabs on the website is a resources page. And there's various things you find there, but one of them is various free downloadable, like a PDF for about project planning. So it's kind of that you can use as a template for planning a project. That's one of the things. There's another one there that's a list of some of the digital tools, the software that I like, the program tools that I like. And those are all available. People can download those for free, and they might find those helpful.
Very good. Absolutely. Well, you are the productive woman. There's no doubt about that. So that's amazing.
Well, I don't know if I'm more productive than anybody else. I host a podcast called The Productive Woman, and my goal is always to help everybody find what they need to go out there and accomplish the things they care about. So it's been a real privilege to get to be a part of people's lives to do that.
That's awesome. Any final thoughts that you have to share?
You know, I think what I would say, if it's a listener who's feeling frustrated because they're not making the progress that they want to, or they feel like other people have got it all figured out and they're just fumbling along, I want to say to that person the same thing I say at the end of every episode of my podcast, which is give yourself some grace. Everybody has to find their own path, and you don't have to follow anybody else's method or approach. Just look into your heart, figure out what it is you want, and you know, you get up every day and you try again. But I would encourage listeners to give themselves a little grace, be a little kinder to yourself.
Very good. Sage advice. Well, again, Laura, thank you so much for spending some time here with us. I will have all of the resources and links in the show notes, so definitely check those out. And we'll look forward to hearing more from the Productive Woman.
Well, thank you, Jackie. It's a privilege to be here.
So there you have it. There's some productivity ideas for you. You know, some really key takeaways. Write things down, understand how to turn your dreams into goals, how to accomplish those, understand focus, and understand those fears and obstacles and that mindset, those different things that really tend to derail all of us, no matter what type of business it is that you are pursuing. Okay, so it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's so funny. I've listened to so many podcasts. I listen to so many internet marketers, people outside of even direct sales, people who are teaching all different types of courses on how to do different things, running mastermind groups. And most all of them have the same story, that their friends and their family weren't supportive of them, were very negative, told them to get a real job, to get their head out of the clouds, different things like that. So if you've run into any of that that's slowing down some of your productivity, I want you to remember that you're not alone. Most of us experience this. So it's up to you to get your mindset straight, be very clear on your why, what it is you're looking for, and understand how to turn those dreams and those goals that you have into reality. I'm here cheering you on. You've got a lot of cheerleaders back behind you. Just remember that. And until next time, remember this: hesitation never cashed a check. Good luck to you in your business. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com, my 25 best lead sources online, how I've sponsored nearly 2,000 people into my business all online. You'll get my nuts and bolts on exactly how I build my business online and how I've created a lifestyle business with my laptop and internet. You can also get more at my blog, jackieelmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, @JackieElmer, and I'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.